Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. During the question-and-answer session of today's call, you may press star one to ask a question. Today's conference is being recorded, and at this time, I'll turn the call over to Barbara Reynolds. You may begin.
Thank you, Shirley, and thank you for joining us today for the Vital Signs Telebriefing. Today's topic is HIV patient care, and with us today are three speakers: Dr. Tom Frieden, the Director for the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention; Dr. Jonathan Merman, the Director of CDC's National Center for HIV/AIDS, Viral Hepatitis, STD, and TD Prevention; and Dr. Eugene McCrae, Director of CDC's Division of HIV/AIDS Prevention. All will provide opening remarks, and then we'll move to your questions. So I'd like to turn the call over to Dr. Tom Frieden.
Thank you very much, and thanks for joining us to discuss this month's Vital Signs report. Each month, we focus on the latest data about one of the critical health issues facing the country and what we can do about it. This month's report is about HIV. More than 1 million Americans are living with HIV, and there are an estimated 50,000 new infections each year. Today, our report is releasing information that less than a third of Americans with HIV had their virus under control through effective care and treatment. Even more remarkably, and in some ways even more disturbingly, among those whose infection was not under control, more than three times the proportion were no longer in care as the proportion who had never been diagnosed. This is critically important because one key to controlling the nation's HIV epidemic is helping people living with HIV control the virus. The bottom line of today's briefing is that HIV care and treatment not only work to improve health and prolong lives, but also to prevent new infections. Yet we're not reaching nearly enough people. Most people with HIV who regularly take antiretroviral medicines achieve viral suppression. That is, the virus is kept under control at a very low level in the body. People with HIV who achieve viral suppression live longer. They live healthier. And U.S. clinical guidelines now recommend that everyone with HIV start treatment as soon as they are diagnosed. And that's really consistent with the way we treat most infections. When you have an infection, you treat it. And that's what we now recommend for HIV. Treatment is particularly important in terms of HIV because people with HIV who achieve viral suppression aren't just healthier, they're also less likely to infect others. In other words, good care and treatment are good prevention. But today's study shows that too many people with HIV aren't getting the treatment they need, in most cases because they're not receiving ongoing HIV care. Fortunately, once people are engaged in ongoing care, most are prescribed antiretroviral treatment and achieve viral suppression. That's why we believe we can make the biggest health impact by accelerating progress on retention and care. And that's where, at CDC, we are now focusing much of our attention. Thinking of it in terms of numbers, there were 840,000 Americans with HIV who didn't have their virus suppressed. That means that they were at greater risk for health problems and at greater risk for spreading HIV to others. Two-thirds of these had been diagnosed but were not receiving medical care. And that means that we need to do more with the healthcare system and with people living with HIV and AIDS. For people living with HIV and AIDS, it's not enough to know. You also have to go for healthcare. For healthcare systems, for doctors, for health centers, and for others, it's not enough to diagnose patients. You have to take accountability and responsibility for every patient diagnosed in your health center and for public health departments, for every patient diagnosed in your jurisdiction, to provide them with the most sensitive, effective, culturally appropriate care so that they will get onto treatment, stay into treatment, live longer, live healthier, stay out of the hospital, and not infect others. Now I'll turn the call over to Dr. Jonathan Merman, Director of CDC's National Center for HIV/AIDS, Viral Hepatitis, STD, and TB Prevention, Dr. Merman will tell us a bit more about today's findings.
Well, thank you, Dr. Frieden. Today's report provides us with a new in-depth look at HIV diagnosis, care, and treatment in the country. CDC recently released a series of snapshots of HIV care and treatment among particular groups of Americans who have been diagnosed with HIV. Today's study includes all Americans with HIV, including those who are undiagnosed, and it allows us to compare programs across different populations, incorporating diagnosis into those findings. Of the majority of those with HIV, nearly 840,000 Americans who don't have their virus under control, 66% have been diagnosed but aren't getting regular HIV medical care, and that's a large gap. Engaging and retaining people with HIV in care has to be a top priority for our national HIV response. And 20% of people whose HIV is not under control don't even realize that they are infected. And people who don't know they're infected can't access HIV care and treatment or take steps to protect their sexual partners. So HIV testing is the critical first step for prevention and care. I wanted to highlight two other findings this afternoon. First, today's Vital Signs report does not show statistically significant differences in viral suppression by race, ethnicity, sex, or risk group. This is encouraging and reflects strong national efforts to ensure testing and care reach those who need it most. However, we did find striking differences by age. More than any other group, our young people are not getting the care they need. Among people aged 18 to 24 who are living with HIV, just 13% had their virus under control through effective care and treatment. Viral suppression increased with age and was highest, 37%, among people aged 65 years and older. The low level of viral suppression among people aged 18 to 24 is due largely to the fact that less than half of them know they have HIV. To close the age gap in viral suppression, we will need to expand efforts to reach young adults with HIV testing. So what does all this mean for CDC? When I look at these data, I see challenges and I see a large opportunity. There's untapped potential to drive down the epidemic through increased testing and treatment. Getting into and staying in HIV care can be daunting. Some people may not know where to go, or they have trouble accessing care, while others have life circumstances that make it difficult. But if we can help all Americans living with HIV overcome barriers and keep their virus in check, not only would they be healthier, the prevention impact would be tremendous. We would finally see the annual number of new infections drop below the 50,000 we have had in the U.S. for years, and the number of deaths among people with HIV would plummet. So now I'll turn it over to Dr. Jean McCrae, Director of CDC's Division of HIV-AIDS Prevention, to tell us a bit more about what CDC is doing to respond.
So thank you, Dr. Merman. Today, HIV treatment is one of our most important strategies for stopping new HIV infections. CDC focuses on diagnosing people with HIV, linking them to ongoing care, treatment, and risk reduction programs, and helping them receive regular care and adhere to medication regimens. Here are some examples that I'd like to highlight. First, we have sponsored a series of awareness campaigns to promote HIV testing and treatment. Most recently, we launched HIV Treatment Works, a campaign to encourage people with HIV to seek and stay in medical care. Second, CDC is providing funding and support to help health departments and community-based organizations increase the number of people with HIV who are diagnosed and regularly engaged in care. Third, we're helping health departments use cutting-edge disease surveillance tools to identify and follow up with people with HIV who have dropped out of care. Fourth, CDC is conducting research on innovative ways to improve HIV testing, retention in care, and adherence to treatment. These are just a few examples of what CDC is doing to reach those who are living with HIV. Continued efforts to reach those at highest risk for HIV remain critical as well. Together with other federal, state, and local agencies, healthcare providers, community organizations, and people with HIV, our efforts are aimed at achieving the goal of the National HIV/AIDS Strategy. This strategy is an ambitious blueprint for reducing new infections, improving health outcomes of people with HIV, and reducing HIV-related health disparities. So now I'll turn it back to Dr. Frieden to sum up today's findings.
Before summing up the findings, let's go to questions. But I will like to say that I would reiterate that HIV care and treatment work not only to improve health but prevent transmission. And it's possible to make much more progress. It's very clear that treatment greatly reduces HIV transmission. We've known that for 3 years. For 2 years, U.S. guidelines recommended for the first time that everyone with HIV receive treatment regardless of CD4 cell count or viral load. And in 2013, the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force recommended routine HIV screening for all adolescents and adults, making this a covered health service without copayment under the Affordable Care Act. And also in 2013, the waiting list for the AIDS Drug Assistance Program was essentially eliminated. So there are plenty of reasons to be hopeful, and I think anyone who tests positive with HIV can now receive medical care and take advantage of effective treatment options. I found the findings from today's study so remarkable that we need to do better in diagnosing HIV. Three times as many people who don't have their viral load suppressed have been diagnosed but are not in care. It's so important that people get tested and that when people are positive, they start care, stay on treatment, and achieve viral suppression, because that's how we can stop HIV. And now I'll turn it back over to Barbara Reynolds for questions.
Thank you, Dr. Frieden. Shirley, if we could open up the line for questions, please.
Certainly. At this time, we'll begin the question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press *1 and record your name clearly. Again, press *1 to ask a question. And one moment, please, for our first question. Again, just press *1 to ask a question, and one moment, please. I think your first question comes from Evan Brown with Fox News Radio. Go ahead with your question.
Hi, good afternoon, and thank you, doctors, for doing this. I've got a couple of questions. One, at the very top, I heard something about reaching out to undiagnosed people or helping to treat undiagnosed people. Do we have a good estimate on how many people are out there undiagnosed, that they unknowing that they have HIV? Another question is there, I know we have policies for testing and pushes through the Affordable Care Act to have testing paid for through health coverage plans. Are there any official guidelines regarding abstinence? I mean, that is still also considered to be a way to not get HIV.
Okay, I'll start and then turn it over to Drs. Merman and McCray. Currently, about 14% of Americans living with HIV have not been diagnosed, so are unaware of their infection. I believe that's about 170,000 people, and there are many things being done to increase testing, including making testing a routine part of healthcare, providing testing support for communities at highest risk in community venues. And in terms of abstinence, we do emphasize that for particularly for youth in schools, that abstinence is the only certain way to avoid transmission of HIV, and that reducing the number of sexual partners will also reduce the risk of HIV. Dr. Merman and McRae?
Well, thank you. The proportion of Americans with HIV who know that they have the infection has continually increased over the past decade and is one of the signs of success of national efforts for HIV prevention and care. A little over a decade ago, only 75% of people knew that they had HIV, and now reached 86%. As Dr. Frieden has highlighted, that allows those individuals to both take care of themselves, to access treatment, but also to protect the people that they love from getting infected. In terms of mechanisms for increasing testing, there's really two main methods we have. One is screening people for HIV infection in their routine medical settings per national guidelines. And we do recommend that, in general, people get tested for HIV at least once, and people at increased risk get tested more frequently. That HIV should be normalized, and essentially an HIV test should be as simple to access as a cholesterol check. The other mechanism for HIV testing is to reach out to people who are at high risk of infection and who may have been infected since their last negative test, and as Dr. Frieden had mentioned, to ensure that they can access testing easily and link to care if positive.
Thank you, Dr. Merman. Next question, please.
Thank you. And this question comes from Maggie Fox with NBC News. Go ahead with your question.
I know the survey didn't show this, but can you all talk a little bit about why people may not be accessing care? Is it still difficult? Do they not trust it? Is it just a pain in the neck? What's the explanation?
I'll turn it over to Drs. Merman and McCrae for more detail. But taking treatment for an infection that may have no symptoms and that you need to take for life is not easy. That's why it's so important that services for people living with HIV be sensitive, easy to access, without financial barriers. All of those are critically important, not just for that individual, but also to reduce the spread of HIV. Drs. Merman and McCrae?
I think it's clear that accessing HIV care can be difficult, particularly for people who lack health insurance or don't have experience navigating what can sometimes be a complex healthcare system. In addition, people with HIV infection often have other life circumstances that can make accessing healthcare more challenging. HIV infection is associated with poverty, with living in an urban setting, sometimes homelessness. There's other factors, substance abuse, that can actually increase risk. And so many of those factors can deter people from actually seeking or remaining in HIV care. So there are a variety of activities that CDC is involved with, as are other federal agencies and state health and local health departments, that try to make it easier for people to access care. So staying in care can be easier as well, and that can range from offering case management or patient navigation services to help people coordinate their appointments, to help manage medical records and insurance payments and other aspects of the healthcare system, to larger scale programs that help everyone in a jurisdiction who knows that they have HIV stay in regular care.
Thank you, Dr. Merman. Shirley, I think we have time for one more question, please.
Thank you. And that comes from Rob Polanski with HCV Next. Go ahead with your question.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for doing this today. Given the new HCV testing protocols, it seems like a lot of, particularly baby boomers, but a lot of other people with hepatitis C will be flooding the healthcare system. And so I was wondering if there's anything in this that's going to deal with that, people with co-infections with HCV or just co-infections with other viral infections in general. Thank you.
Thanks. I'll turn that over to Dr. Merman to answer.
Okay. Thank you. There are many similarities between HIV and hepatitis C in terms of programmatic response. And in terms of both of them being chronic viral infections, there has been a continuum of care developed for hepatitis C infection, which shows that only about 50% of people with hepatitis C in the United States know that they're infected, and that there also is a considerable drop-off to the point of people who have been actually treated. What is different between HIV and hepatitis C is that hepatitis C can be cured, and HIV is at this point a lifelong infection. But what you highlight that the screening recommendations that CDC has issued are similar, and it's important that people who are thinking of routinely providing their patients with HIV screening also think of hepatitis C screening and vice versa. The linkage to care issues and the retention in care will be similar for people who have hepatitis C and HIV, with the exception that hepatitis C can be cured. Looking at the final outcome, for HIV being viral suppression, which maximizes longevity and reduces the risk of infection to others, and for hepatitis C is a cure of your infection, helps both health departments and the nation achieve the outcomes that are going to have the greatest health impact.
Thank you, Dr. Merman. Dr. Frieden, if you'd like to conclude.
Well, first, thank you all for joining us. HIV remains a very significant health threat in the U.S., with more than 1 million people in this country living with HIV. We've got such great treatment for HIV now that people living with HIV can have an almost normal lifespan, and taking treatment early is critically important to health. It's also critically important to protecting sexual contacts and protecting your family. Today's findings are important because they show that we have much, much further to go. Only 3 out of 10 Americans living with HIV were documented to have their infections effectively controlled, and the great majority of those with infections out of control had been diagnosed but were not still in care. That's a message for providers of HIV services to be accountable for every single patient you've diagnosed, and a message for people living with HIV to go in for care, because that can save your life and save the life of someone else. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Dr. Frieden. This concludes our telebriefing on HIV. If you have additional questions, would like more information or a transcript, you're welcome to call 404-639-8894 or 404-639-3286.
Thank you, and this does conclude today's conference. We thank you for your participation. At this time, you may disconnect your lines.